Great to be back with you, Tiger fans. Another week of Play-by-Play presented by our friends at The Advocate, along with our producer, Harrison Valentine, the illustrious Kent Lowe. I'm Chris Blair, and we got a ton to run down today. Later on, a special guest will be joining us. We'll be talking LSU men's tennis, which certainly off to a great start, having a great season so far here in 2024. But Kent, let's dive right into it. Basketball headed down the stretch, both men and women in conference play. That means postseason, and March Madness is just around the corner. Women's basketball really looking to hit that late season stride. And I got to tell you, it looks a lot like what we saw last year to finish up the regular season. And then, of course, going on to win a national title. Playing well right now as they head down the stretch.
Yeah, they had a big win Sunday at Tennessee, a tough game in the midweek against Auburn. Auburn has really played them well twice. And then Thursday night, got to go to Georgia, last road game of the season. And then they come home Sunday for senior day against Kentucky. And believe it or not, that'll wrap up their regular season before they head to the SEC tournament. But they do have the double bye already clinched. So that's good, and really they are on a roll. Haley Van Lith, a tremendous game Sunday afternoon, and this should be a good one Thursday night, and then a big finish on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, the Tigers 24-4 overall, 11-3 in conference play. As Kent mentioned, they know they will play on a Friday in the SEC tournament there in Greenville at Bon Secours Wellness Arena. And as Kent said, coming down the stretch here, one game on the road, then finish up here at home. Just to give you those times again, Thursday this week in Athens against Georgia, that one tipping off at 8 o'clock Central, and then on Sunday for the regular season finale, which I'm sure there's going to be at least some recognition of maybe some players' last games inside the Maravich Center, although things are subject to change. But it should be a great celebration of really great three seasons here under Coach Kim Mulkey. That one will be against the Wildcats, tipping off at 1 o'clock.
And they moved up to ninth in the AP poll, so back in the top 10 for the women's team.
Yeah, and as Coach says all the time, you know, they know what they're going to do in the SEC tournament. They know what their mission is there in Greenville. But now you're playing for that NCAA committee and seedings, and we all know how important that is. So two very important games coming up for women's basketball. Men's basketball, really a lot of success here of late. Last week, just a sensational Wednesday night. They beat South Carolina the Saturday before on the road in Columbia at the time, number 11. They don't get to celebrate that much because number 17, Kentucky, comes into the Maravich Center. Great atmosphere, best atmosphere of the season, and really a great game. One of the classic battles in LSU with the last-second buzzer beater from Tyrell Ward gets the win over the Wildcats, which doesn't come very often for LSU basketball. It was a great night to be in the PMAC.
Yeah, it really was. And the play by Jordan Wright, who was able to have the awareness to get the ball up in the air to Tyrell Ward for the winning bucket, just amazing. And just a tremendous couple of games by LSU, and both of those games in the usual fashion, fall behind and then come back and to show, and the learning to win the close game is something you got to like about this team, which has now won three of its last five. And after a kind of a off night against Mississippi State, to come back 2 days later and win the game against Georgia, which was just a kind of a rock fight in the second half, and to play the defense at the end to win the game, really, again, says a lot about this team. And, Chris, I'll give you this stat. 3 1-point games now LSU has had this season. That's the most an LSU team has had in a season since 1988-89.
It is impressive finding ways.
And at as best a time of the year as you can have it.
No doubt. And again, you look at all the close games LSU's been in, not only in conference, but really all season long. And to Kent's point, you see the maturation of this team finding ways late defensively and offensively to be able to win those games where some of those early in the season did not go the Tigers' way. And again, after dropping to Mississippi State in a game that really the Bulldogs did what they typically don't do, and that's shoot the ball from three incredibly well as get to the free throw line and knock those down. Bounce back, get the win over Georgia, avenge the earlier loss from January 24th in Athens that also went down to the wire, where LSU had a chance to win and just came up short. Now you go to Vanderbilt this Saturday, then you go on the road to Arkansas before you wrap up the men's regular season here at home against Missouri on March 9th. Now, the interesting thing, and this is an important stretch, is on paper, LSU I think will be favored, if not favored because they're on the road possibly. But these are winnable games. The problem is, Kent, to go back to history, I know you and I were notified this morning that Kentucky is the hardest place for LSU to win in the history of the SEC in matchups. Alabama is second. We always talk about how difficult it's been for every LSU team at Coleman Coliseum. In third and fourth is Fayetteville and Nashville. They've struggled for years in both of those venues, but hopefully they can string together and steal, as they say, two road wins in conference play, starting with Vanderbilt this Saturday.
Well, you got to go back to when Johnny Jones was head coach for the last win in Nashville against Vanderbilt. So it's been a while. So it'll be an interesting game. LSU needs to be at its best. I think playing on Tuesday this week certainly helps with an extra day off involved in this week, and then the preparation will begin on Thursday for Vanderbilt, and I think just a day away will help this team ready for Saturday.
SEC basketball certainly has been crazy this season. LSU wins the buzzer beater against Kentucky on Wednesday. Kentucky absolutely eviscerates Alabama at home on Saturday. The most points they'd ever scored in a game against Alabama. It looked like they were just going to score 150 midway through the second half. Kentucky wins a buzzer beater on Tuesday night in Starkville against Mississippi State, so they're able to get a close win. And then Vanderbilt goes up into Fayetteville, and they have struggled mightily this season, especially in conference play, but they beat the Razorbacks at Bud Walton on Tuesday night. So who knows? That's why doesn't matter what it says on paper, Kent. We go out and play the games. That's exactly right. So, again, a lot of big games coming up for both men and women's basketball. LSU baseball off to a great start. First two weekends, they're 7-1. Consensus number two in the country. This week they're on the road Wednesday night against Rice. And then they take part once again in the Astros Foundation Classic at Minute Maid Park. Texas on Friday, UL Lafayette on Saturday, and they finish up with Texas State on Sunday. First chance for LSU to play away from Alec Box Stadium. The good thing is that this past weekend on Saturday, the Tigers, after losing their first game to Stony Brook on the year on Friday, which certainly gave a lot of Tiger fans heartburn and flashbacks, they bounced back on Saturday and defeat Northern Illinois for a second time, 5-2. But Coach Jay Johnson was not happy with the offensive performance, and he was pretty clear about it. Then on Sunday in the rematch against Stony Brook, again, it was 18-10. That game probably not as close as the score would even indicate. But LSU got back to getting men on, getting them over, and getting them in. And I think according to Jay's plan, Tigers look more of what he wants to see. Hopefully they can carry that over against Rice, and certainly in a big battle, top 10 battle against Texas on Friday.
And should be a lot of LSU fans for those games because obviously playing in Houston, but I have a feeling a lot of Tiger fans will make the trip over for the weekend in Houston.
No doubt. And again, they'll be back next weekend. They'll be on the road midweek. They'll go to Hammond, take on Southeastern Louisiana next week, and then back at home for a three-game set against Xavier. LSU softball. Well, Kent, I don't know if you can get off to a better start. They are 13-0. They've raised to number 3 in the national polls. Beth Tarina and company just getting it done. And, you know, what's impressive about looking at their games, they've been able to win in different ways, which kind of is the sign of a really good team.
Well, this team has a lot of pitching, a lot of hitting, and they've been able to combine it into some timely hitting that has done some good things for this team. And now another chance this weekend to see where they go from here. But you got to like what you've seen so far from Coach Torino's team's performance this year?
Well, again, if you're not going over to Houston to follow LSU baseball, you're going to be here in town. It's the Purple and Gold Challenge at Tiger Park, one of the most scenic softball parks in all of America. It'll be Illinois on Friday and then San Diego State on Friday in the later game at 6:30. And then they'll finish up the Purple and Gold Challenge against the Aztecs on Saturday. That one, first pitch at 5 o'clock. So a chance to see softball. And before we take our break and come back and talk LSU tennis, LSU gymnastics. Again, just racking up the points, racking up the scores, and really putting themselves in a great position once postseason arrives.
Yeah, the NQS kicked in this week, the national qualifying scores, and it's a little convoluted, but most of you gymnastics fans can recite it in your sleep. It's six scores, top score eliminated, and all that stuff. LSU remained number two, so really no big deal, no big change, except in a couple of spots in the top 10. But LSU and Alabama at a weird time Friday night. 5 o'clock will be the start of that meet. But LSU could beat Alabama Friday night, and certain things happen in the Florida-Kentucky meet, and LSU could still claim the regular season title in the SEC. But Coach Clark, I know, is just wanting to continue the progress, wanting to continue the consistency as this team moves further into the season.
Indeed. 5 o'clock inside the Maravich Center. It'll be another top 10 meet. Unbelievable, the schedule this season for LSU. Number two, Tigers against number nine, Alabama. Hope to see you there. All right, well, that's kind of a rundown of what's been happening here in LSU athletics. Now we're going to turn our attention, as we promised, to LSU men's tennis. Our special guest this week, Danny Bryan, head coach of the Tigers, will join us after this quick break here on Play by Play. Yeah. Back in on this week's show, Play by Play, presented by our friends at The Advocate. As we told you, going to talk a little LSU tennis, and we're happy to be joined by Danny Bryan, head men's tennis coach, former All-American here, pretty good tennis player in his own right, and now has the Tigers playing extremely well. Coach Bryan, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for returning again, and wow, congratulations on the season so far here in the spring.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's been a good start, and you know, this past weekend was a huge win for the team, and now we're going into SEC play, so hopefully we can keep it rolling.
No doubt about it, coming off a big victory against Memphis, and as he said, Kent, going into SEC play, and you know, we say it all the time, and it goes for every sport. I mean, you have your preseason non-conference, so to speak, and then the conference play is when everybody's got to step up their game.
Yeah, but to beat a team like Memphis before your conference, that's got to be just one, a confidence, a great momentum factor heading into SEC play this weekend.
Yeah, no, I think so. You know, we've had we're 10-1, so we've won a lot of matches, but that one this past weekend was a big one. I would say they're a legit team. They have a win over, I think, number six Harvard, and then they had it was a pretty packed house there. So it was it was a great environment to play, but it was also tough, and our guys got really tested. And so, you know, just to be able to come through, like the way a lot of the guys did, and, you know, also we were down 3-2 in matches, and we had two freshmen left on the court, and those two guys to be able to get us over the line, that was huge. And yeah, I think it was it was a, you know, the guys coming together and really, you know, seeing – if they compete, if we have six guys out there competing the way we did, you know, we're going to have a chance in a lot of matches.
Talk about some of the guys who, again, maybe Tiger fans who follow tennis are familiar with, maybe some of the guys that you guys are relying on, not only veterans, but as you mentioned, some of the younger guys that are performing at a top level early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of guys that had a good start to the season. The first one I'll name is Julian Penslin. He's undefeated on the year, and he's playing usually at number six singles, but he's just been a rock for us and a really good leader as well. But he's a guy that has been pretty not dominant in his position. So that was he's done really well. He's also done really well in doubles, also at number three. He and his partner Chen Dong, who's a senior, they're undefeated on the year, I believe, as well. at number one, Stefan Letinovic is a senior, and he is, I think he's 6-1 on the year. So he's really stepped up for us this spring. And after not having a great fall, he had a second knee surgery in last August.
Wow.
And so he had a tough fall, but you know, he's playing really good tennis right now. George Stoop is our only ranked player currently. He's a senior. He's had a he had a really good fall, and he's had a good spring. And then we've had three freshmen that were playing, you know, against Memphis this past Friday, and led by Rudy Sisson. He was probably our best player in the had the best fall season, I would say, and he's doing really well. And I think he's the one that clinched the match. But one that came in January, Alexi Loftman, is he's like 6'7", great athlete from Finland, and he won his match to tie the match up at 3-3 on Friday. He won it 10-8 in the third set tiebreaker, which, I mean, he was unbelievable in that situation. It's pretty tough when you've never played, like, they're not playing much team tennis in Europe, and it's a completely new experience, environment for him. And to come through like that, it was really impressive, and we're excited.
Let me take you back a little bit for folks who don't know your career and your history. Your father, your uncle, both played college tennis. Mm-hmm. You're from New Orleans. I mean, was tennis something that you just automatically picked up as a kid, or did it come gradually? How did you finally get on this tennis road?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, in some way, I certainly don't feel like it was forced. I was just around it all the time. So yeah, right. like my sister also, she played at Ohio State, and she was 2 years older than I was, and so she was already playing. And then my grandfather was a tennis coach. I mean, I have, my dad has three brothers, and they were all tennis players, all D1 tennis players. So I was just around it. Like, and I played baseball until I was about 11. And then the way at least my parents tell me is I just decided that, I just had a good opportunity with the environment I was in to go further with tennis. And so that's what I chose. And I kind of remember that I didn't think the team I was on in baseball was great, and I didn't like losing. So I was like, I'm gonna get out of that. So, and it's funny, I think I picked tennis because it's individual sport, which I do like, but now, like, with the, you know, once I got into college tennis and now coaching, like, I love the team aspect of it.
Went to Brother Martin, came to LSU, was top player in the state when he came here, as you mentioned, All-American, assistant coach, head coach. How much... It just seems like when I talk to people, head coaches who played here, it really seems to mean a lot more to be back as part of the LSU scene as a head coach.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's when I was at Wichita State, I gave everything I had. But it's different. Like, it's special. Like, it's a dream for me. And yeah, I mean, I'm very passionate about the school, the program, everything, you know. So, I want to do everything I possibly can to put us in the best position.
When you finished playing at LSU, mm-hmm. I know you went out a little bit on the tour, but mm-hmm. was there something that said, I want to follow some of my other family members and be a coach?
I actually wasn't. I think it was my junior year is when I really started to, like, kind of talk to Coach Brown, like Jeff Brown, yep. at the time, who was the head coach. And I felt like I was getting such a great experience and learning. So I felt like this would be something that I would really enjoy. And I felt like I grew and matured a lot during college. And I think he had a big influence on that. And so, like, that was like something where I was like, that'd be really cool to do the same thing for others. I had no interest in working at a club. Like, that wasn't it. But then, like I said, I think I chose tennis, like, over baseball because it was individual. But then when I went after college and I was going to maybe go play, I really, for the first time, like, had no interest in tennis. Like, the way the Pro Tour was set up, like, I was not enjoying it. Like, the travel and being by yourself, and that after going through everything in college with the team environment and then playing by yourself, like, I just knew something I didn't enjoy it the same.
It wasn't the same.
I missed the team aspect of it. So, you know, I was just really lucky, like, the way it all worked out. You know, I came back to graduate. I knew I wasn't – so I played from, like, August of 2007 to December, but I had one semester left. So I just said, okay, I'm going to go back. Jeff offered me, like, a student assistant coaching position, and I said, okay, I'll take that, graduate, and, you know, see if I'm missing and I want to go play again, or if I want to, you know, move on and get into coaching or whatnot. And, yeah, so it just worked out that the assistant coach at the time was Mark Boris. He, Tulane, reinstated the men's tennis program right then, and he became the head coach. And then I was, Jeff offered me the assistant coaching job. So I was really lucky.
Again, Danny Bryan, our guest this week, men's tennis coach here at LSU. And Danny, I remember you were named head coach, came back to LSU, I think, in late May of 2022. I had a chance to visit with you prior to the start of the athletic season, mm-hmm. later in the summer. And one of the things I asked you, and Kent leads us in that direction, is, again, having had such a successful career as a player here, team member at LSU, and then that great opportunity to get into coaching at your mm-hmm. alma mater, how important was it, though, to go away? And as you said, go to Wichita State, be in a different environment, maybe had to get comfortable as opposed to what you knew at LSU. How did that experience help you to be prepared when you got the call to come back to LSU?
I would say a lot, actually. You know, like, it was that was the decision I made. Like, I felt that I needed to step out of my comfort zone. Like, I was really comfortable here. But I knew I wanted to challenge myself and get myself in a new environment. And ultimately it was, you know, 6 great years in Wichita, and I learned so much. I learned, you know, from a lot of people there. And I think the way it worked out, I was just way more prepared coming back here than I would have been if I would have just stayed, I would say. Like, I just being a head coach, making the decisions, like, all those kind of things, but also, like, a little bit just finding a way to make it work when you don't have the resources we have here, and embracing that challenge. And then some of the things that I really loved about not having all the resources, like that toughness that you can get as a team and those kind of things, I think it really helps me now, even though we do have all the resources, just with dealing with the guys and managing that aspect of it.
Again, you know, one of the great things, Kent, we've talked about it on the show with all of the coaches we're lucky enough to have join us. And I wanted to get Danny's thoughts on also coming back to LSU. At the time you come back to LSU, you talked about learning from many people at Wichita State. I got to believe, as a head coach of a program at LSU, that everybody is able to grab onto and follow and learn from some of the great coaches in all sports here at LSU. And one of the things I enjoy, I get those opportunities to do some of these events, mm-hmm. alumni events, when they get all the coaches together. And I just kind of stay out of the way, and I watch mm-hmm. you guys talk. I mean, I watch Beth talk with Coach Kelly, or I watch you talk with Coach Johnson. I mean, again, as a young coach who has done a tremendous job so far, it's got to be great to have the resources, because there's a lot of commonality regardless of the sport. And you've got – LSU's just blessed to have great coaches with great experience and great success.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I feel like like you said, we have, you know, some of the best coaches in the world. And you know, though the sports are different, there's so many commonalities in dealing with a team and managing and leading and all those things. So I'm always looking, you know, for new ideas and to learn. And, you know, we're all going through this together. And obviously now, with the way the landscape's changing with NIL and all these different things, always calling, asking for advice, and recruiting as well. I mean, I think we have some of the best recruiters too. And
yeah.
So getting advice there is, it's tremendous.
You talked about resources, and certainly one of the resources is this wonderful tennis facility mm-hmm. that you have over there. And it is to be a fabulous place to watch a match. It's a great place to play a match, obviously, but for the fans, it's a great resource to be able to watch the matches there. But it's really a wonderful place, and kind of you're getting kind of a home court advantage there. You're getting mm-hmm. People out to watch, and they get excited and get going and push your guys along.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a unbelievable facility. And, you know, from the home court advantage, I mean, we're working at it. Like, we're trying to do different things to get people out. And, you know, I that was something I wanted to do from the beginning. And you know, we've opened up the facility where there's a club, and then we've also done things with the LSU club team. Just we've done free clinics, all these different things to try to get people to know the guys. And the guys have done a great job with that. I feel like they're amazing at when we do these clinics and whatnot. They're engaging. They're outgoing, and I think that's that connection is really what is going to bring people out to our matches for a sport like tennis. I would also say, like, anyone who's come to our matches recently, like, this team is they're trying really hard, and they play with great emotion, and I think people are going to, you know, be able to connect with them and fans. And once they come to the matches, like, I think a lot of times they go, oh, wow, this is different than I expected. And hopefully, I think a majority of them do come back. And, you know, if we can keep building, keep getting better, like, obviously that's going to help as well.
Chris, college tennis matches, the fans are sometimes as much as fun to watch as the matches themselves at college tennis. It gets a little raucous over there, and
you know, it's funny you say that.
You know, it's a great thing for the home team when it's rolling.
Yes,
you know,
it's funny you say that. I was leaving on Sunday, I think two Sundays ago, if I'm not mistaken, leaving the box after doing the baseball game and coming out to the parking lot there. And as I'm walking to my car, I hear just again a raucous atmosphere across the street, and I'm like, "What is going on?" There was, I think Guns N' Roses was playing, screaming and cheering, and I look over and I go, "That's the tennis facility." Yeah. So. And I actually was with my son, who's a freshman here at LSU, and he said the same thing. He's like, what's going on over there? I said, they got something electric happening with LSU tennis. And again, talking about the facilities and going back to recruiting, Coach, you mentioned, you know, how that's the lifeblood of every program. With the facility you have, not just the atmosphere of the matches and the excitement that's building, which I give you all the credit for, but also just the development of players. When you go talk to players, whether they be international, whether they be here in the United States, about coming and honing their skills inside the facility you guys have, not just for the matches, but the training and behind the scenes, how do you think LSU is doing when you compare it to peer institutions in the SEC and, for that matter, across the country?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're the best, or if not one of the best. It's just maybe a little bit of a style thing of what facility is the best in the country, but we have we have everything you could possibly need. We have, you know, before, you know, you would think you don't need indoor courts. Like when I was here before, we didn't have indoors. But ultimately, you know, we get those afternoon showers sometimes. And that's a lot of times when we practice, and we would miss practice. And now we have 6 indoor courts. We also have the advantage of having like a mini, it's actually not a mini weight room. It's a pretty big weight room, like in our facility. It gives us the flexibility for some of the guys, if they want to get a quick workout or whatever is more convenient for them, we can work out there, we can work out at Tiger Stadium, we can work out at Football Ops. Like, we have these advantages where when you get into a busy like class schedule and those kind of things, we can do whatever is best for the guys. And obviously with the training room and the cold tubs and all those kind of things, like, we have it all right there. The video, we do a lot of video analysis. We have it at the facility as well. So it would be hard to, you know, think of what else we would need, you know. You got to put the work in.
Just keep a few in your pocket, though. Yeah, you never know. Something's going to pop up here soon.
It hasn't been that long ago, and he knows this, that matches would be delayed. Weather, it was too cold to play. The wind was all ridiculous, and it just made life miserable for trying to get some tennis matches in.
For sure. And you also had to schedule, you know, a lot of times when I was playing, like on a Friday, you would schedule at normally like 2 p.m. because you wanted to give yourself the best opportunity in case, you know, you don't want to wait till 5 and then it rains at 5 and you could have got the match in at 2. Now we can set the time of the match that's what we think is best to get people to come to the matches, which helps a lot.
Well, again, getting back to this year's team, as we mentioned, off to a 10-1 start. They will begin SEC play. And you said something earlier, Coach, as we wrap things up for you, and again, we appreciate your time, that you go to a pretty hostile environment, a pretty good home court advantage for Memphis in the win 4-3. And you guys are head out on the road. Now, with the win over Memphis, you come in this week, I think, number 25 in the country. So you go off to Columbia to take on a number 16th-ranked Gamecock team coming up this Friday, and then you're on the road to Gainesville to take on Florida before you finally come home on March 8th. So I got to believe that was great preparation, not only to go into SEC play, but go into SEC play against a ranked opponent later this week.
Check out BRQ Seafood and Barbecue, the official catering service of LSU Athletics, and your top pick for victorious celebrations and special occasions. Explore our daily specials and catering options, or reserve your table at www.brqrestaurant.com. Experience unforgettable moments at BRQ Seafood and Barbecue.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so South Carolina is the only team that's beaten us. They beat us in the second round of national indoors in January in Columbia. So we're going back there. I actually think they're better than 16. They have a couple. They beat Virginia at Virginia, who I don't know what they are. They're probably three or something. Like the way the rankings work, they just don't. They've had a couple. They've played a very tough schedule. They've had a couple of injuries, and you know, when we lost to them in January, they were number two in the country. So it's going to be a very tough match. But we feel like we have some spots that we can make it pretty tough. And if things go our way, like, you know, maybe we can get an upset. Then going on to Florida, they're a little bit lower ranked, but they're playing with a ton of freshmen, but the recruiting class is they're very talented. So that's going to be another very difficult match. And then coming home, yeah, that Ole Miss Mississippi State weekend, we're doing a lot of different promotions, trying to get people out, because that's going to be two really good matches for us.
They're like everything else. There are no bad teams in the SEC, in men's tennis for sure. Excuse me. I have heard via a source, and I need to check this out.
Getting his sources.
Is it true that you and women's golf coach Garrett Runyon were roommates in college?
We were roommates. Yep, that's right. That's accurate.
I didn't hear that from Garrett, I heard that from someone else, and I just was trying to check that out. You couldn't turn him into a tennis player?
No. I was trying to have him turn me into a golfer.
No, okay, all right.
I've gotten better, but then once I took this job, my golf game has been eliminated.
Yeah, I was about to say, not a lot of time for that.
I don't think his tennis game's any good.
It's actually all right. He's actually
okay.
All right.
All right.
He's smart. He's a smart guy. Like, he knows that he's not that good, so he doesn't overplay. He just, he's kind of what you would call a bit of a pusher. But he finds a way to get it done.
Oh, I can't imagine that if you could go back to you guys when you were rooming together and think at some point we're going to be back here at LSU, going to be coaching our own programs. You got to have a ton of great stories, which some could probably go on the podcast. But got to be amazing that you guys years later are now back here at LSU.
Yeah, coaching. No, it's crazy. I mean, because he didn't get into coaching right away. And then, so I was assistant coach pretty much right after college, and then he was doing a bunch of other stuff, and we were really good friends. We're always staying in touch, and then Chuck, offered him the assistant coaching job, and after he won, I mean, a guy wins.
Right.
I'm just trying to keep up with him. I mean, that's one guy I'm always trying to get some advice from, because I mean, all he does is win.
Well, again, fans, we invite you out there to the Tennis Center. As we mentioned, LSU playing great tennis right now. Beyond the Road, South Carolina, then Florida. And then, as Coach said, they start, four straight matches here in Baton Rouge. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Just so for those of you keeping score at home, March 8th against Ole Miss, March 10th against the Bulldogs of Mississippi State, March 15th against the Wildcats, and then Sunday, March 17th against Tennessee. So if you haven't taken in a match, we invite you to do so. I think you'll have a great time. And again, we got Tiger fans love a winner right now. Men's tennis, a winner. Coach, thanks for your time. Thanks for coming by. Congratulations on the start, and here's to a continued success and a strong finish at the end of the year.
Yep. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. That's going to wrap up this week's show. Our thanks to Danny Bryan, men's tennis coach here at LSU. We, of course, Harrison Ballantyne. He puts it all together. He designs the set. I mean, he does it all. And then Kent Lowe, the master, who has his sauces that he brings great information to the show. Again, we'll be back next week, get you a rundown on what's happening here in LSU athletics. Hope you'll join us then. For everybody here, this is Chris Blair. So long, everybody, and go Tigers. Ha 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 ha.